a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The Senate Ag and Natural Resources Committee will come to order. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Senate Ag and Natural Resources Committee. Remember to everyone to turn off your cell phones. I guess we got a couple visitors here this morning. Who's the young ladies in the back row? Who are you with? Well, good morning and welcome. And we'll have the pages. Zane, will you come forward and tell us where you're from and what do you plan on doing after high school?
Yes, I'm Zane Frederick. I'm from here in Pierre, and I'll be going to USD next year for business and criminal justice.
Okay, great. Shelby.
Hi, I'm Shelby Simon. I'm from Eagle Butte, and I plan on going to SDSU for animal and range science.
Great. Thank you, Shelby. First off, we'll have the secretary call the roll.
Bogalka.
Here.
Frerichs.
Here.
Frisley.
Here.
Hansen.
Here.
Rampelberg.
Here.
Roden. Valley. Maher.
Here.
Krebs.
We have a quorum. Look for a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Frerichs, seconded by Rampelberg. All in favor, say aye. Those opposed, say nay.
Or
aye.
Aye.
Motion opposed. Hearing none. Minutes are passed. Brings us to our agenda. Reminder to anyone who's testifying to sign in. First bill on the docket is House Bill 1037, revises the purpose of the Agriculture Mediation Program. Are there any proponents? Good morning, Mr. Dunn. I was going to say Mr. Blair, but that's not correct. So.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Blair Dunn, General Counsel and Director of Policy for the Ag Department. I will keep my comments brief and mainly to stick to questions if there are any at the end, because this is a fairly straightforward bill. And in the simplest form, I like to say that this bill allows our producers to avoid members of my ilk, which is to say that 99% of us attorneys give the remaining 1% a bad name, but all joking aside, I'd say most attorneys now are feeling that alternative dispute resolution is a good thing, and if there's a way to employ that to help some of our producers that are involved with federal lands avoid litigation, that this is another step towards being able to do that. Section 502 of the Agriculture Credit Act of 1987 authorized the Secretary of Agriculture for the United States to establish a mediation program to deal with mainly creditor-debtor disputes at that point, and to mediate those disputes in order to afford agriculture landowners and ag members a different avenue of resolving disputes that they might have with their creditors. Again, in 1994, the reorganization of that act, and I'm going to read this, and I apologize for reading this out, but it's a long list, expanded this mediation program, this federal mediation program, to include wetland determinations, conservation compliance, agriculture credit, rural water loan programs, grazing on national forest system lands, pesticides, and other issues the Secretary deems appropriate. And what we're doing with this bill is we are just taking what is currently in state law, expanding it just slightly so that we can actually use what is already provided for under federal grants and under this federal statute. Currently, state statute limits what we can do for mediation programs in South Dakota to creditor-debtor disputes. But in other states, they've made this expansion to take in these other types of things, and one of them being federal lands disputes. And that's the impetus for this bill, is just to move that just a little bit. In practice, we've actually had to send a couple of producer groups or producers to North Dakota and Nebraska over the last couple of years, where they've come in and the Forest Service has come in with them and said, would you mediate these disputes we have over grazing decisions or decisions concerning federal lands? And we've had to tell them no, but because your lands encompass both the states of North Dakota and South Dakota, or South Dakota and Nebraska, talk to Nebraska and North Dakota, and they may be able to mediate that. And they did mediate a couple disputes, but rather than send our South Dakota producers to other states to resolve this, we'd like to help our producers out by smoothing this out. I've actually been involved as a facilitator for the grazing agreement with the Grand River Grasslands over the last, almost the last year, and that's been very helpful. And they're nearing a resolution of that and a brand new grazing agreement, strictly just through better cooperation from the Forest Service and the Grazing Association with us there to kind of steer the direction of the discussions. And this would be a similar type situation, and hopefully we could help resolve those disputes. So rather than belabor this, I'd like to stand by for questions if there are any concerning this change to the law. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dunn. Are there any further proponents to the House Bill 1037? Good morning, Mr. Murphy.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jeremiah Murphy from Rapid City, South Dakota. I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Stockbrokers Association. And we, first of all, thank Secretary Bones and thank Mr. Dunn in particular for their work on this bill. This is a value for the South Dakota Stockbrokers Association. Our producers are the folks about who Mr. Dunn spoke, who get into these situations where mediation is a constructive and an efficient method to deal with them. And we really applaud the Department of Ag for finding a way to expand South Dakota law in a way that we capture what should be ours in any event in terms of a federal service. So we believe this is really sound public policy, a good piece of creative work by the department, and we'd urge your passage of this bill today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. Any further proponents to House Bill 1037? Good morning, Ms. Foreman.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Brenda Foreman. I'm registered lobbyist for South Dakota Cattlemen's Association. Mr. Dunn has already noted the important need for this bill to expand the ability for the mediation program to address other issues that have come up. This bill will be a benefit to our producers and members and would encourage your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents? One last call. Any further proponents to House Bill 1037? Seeing none, we'll move to opponent testimony. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1037? Seeing none, we'll move to committee questions. Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Mr. Dunn. I think I know the answer, but I'm just kind of curious. I know in Rapid City, as an example, there's a couple of retired judges that act as mediators for a variety of issues. You have this assistance available for people that would choose not to go to a private mediator, if you will, for lack of a better term. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Rappelberg, that's correct. The other thing that is provided for is, of course, funding through our program through the federal grant, but also for the Forest Service to mediate a dispute, it needs to be through a USDA-certified mediator. And that's really a pretty loose definition. In fact, just about anybody who's had formal mediation training qualifies to be a USDA-certified mediator, but this is just a formalization. So the Forest Service tends to like to go through these state programs just because we've kind of already done the groundwork.
Further questions? Any other questions from the committee? Seeing none, we'll move close to questioning. We'll move into committee discussion and or action. Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move due pass on House Bill 1037.
I've got a motion from Senator Rampelberg on a due pass, seconded by Senator Frerichs. Any discussion on that motion?
I think this makes a lot of sense, Mr. Chair. Certainly these issues arise, and frankly, when you start talking about federal agencies, you know, local people just don't have the expertise, and so it's good that our state department's willing to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any further discussion? Senator Frerichs.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and I'd just like to pony on top of this to just say that it's been very good work in progress, and we, these mediators that I see up in our immediate area, work especially on the financial side of things. And so when you're talking about these federal agencies, we're fortunate to, where we're at, we have more so private land, and aside from some of the other tribal land, but aside from that, we aren't getting into grazing agreements as much, but it certainly has proven itself on the financial side of things. And so if we can open that up to in this case dealing with any sort of disputes on a federal, with federal lands, by all means, let's keep moving ahead.
Thank you, Senator. Any further discussion on the due pass motion? Seeing none, the Secretary will call the roll.
Bogalka.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Frizzly.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Krebs. Mr. Chair, 8 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 1037, having received a majority of the vote, is declared passed.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to put this on consent, please.
There's a second. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the bill moves to consent calendar. Next, we have House Bill 1038, and we will begin. That would be, this is an act to increase the penalty for leaving the brand inspection area without necessary inspection and or authorization. Any proponent testimony? Oh, they're fighting to get up to the stand. Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Larry Stearns. I'm the director of the South Dakota Brand Board. Bringing this bill this year, it's a simple bill. We're just asking to change the penalty for leaving the brand inspection area without the necessary inspections from a Class 2 to a Class 1 misdemeanor. About 4 years ago, the brand board brought in a pair of bills, one to change this from a Class 1 to a Class 2, and another to give the brand board the authority to use an administrative fine to multiple people who have offended this multiple times, to put some meat into it, to make it easier to pick people up, but put meat into the law. The one bill passed to change it to a Class 2. The other, however, failed. So for the last 3 years, we've been running with this as a Class 2 misdemeanor. The Class 2 misdemeanor, there is about a $100 fine and that's pretty much it, a slap on the wrist for leaving the brand inspection area. And with this change, it can be up to a $2,000 fine and a mandatory court appearance. It would put a little more teeth into this law. Right now, the price of livestock is at a point where probably a record high. They're very valuable property, and we would like to see a little more teeth in this bill just because of this higher value livestock. With that, I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Stearns. Any further proponent testimony to House Bill 1038?
Good morning, Chairman Jeremiah M. Murphy, South Dakota Stock Growers Association, and we wholeheartedly support this legislation. We supported the previous change in misdemeanor classification, and there were some good reasons to do that at the time. We believe today there are sound public policy reasons to go to this higher classification. It's our understanding. The stock growers were really pleased when the administration put the brand inspectors, the brand investigators under the Attorney General supervision, and it is the practice in that office, I think, to pursue typically the higher misdemeanors. We also anticipate that the relationship of the Attorney General's office with the various states' attorneys' offices will make this a workable and desirable approach. So we'd support we'd appreciate your support of the bill today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. Further proponents to House Bill 1038. Any further proponents to House Bill 1038? Seeing none, we'll move into opponent testimony. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1038? Last call for opponent testimony. Seeing none, we will move into committee discussion and or questions. I guess just questions first. Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just need a clarification, and I suppose it could come from Mr. Stern. Mr. Stern, yeah. Question, please. I mean, we just can't have these things going down the road this quickly. I mean, people need to have a little entertainment at home. I'm a farm kid, but I grew up in Iowa. So when we start talking about livestock ownership inspection area, which runs through there, that doesn't mean much to me. Does that mean something to the brand board folks?
Mr. Chairman? Senator Rappelberg. Yes, it does. Western South Dakota is in what they call the livestock ownership inspection area. To leave the state of South Dakota to go into Montana, North Dakota, Wyoming, and Nebraska requires a brand inspection, as well as crossing the Missouri River, going to the East River from the West River. Any horses, mules, or cattle leaving the brand inspection area are required to have a brand inspection by a brand inspector, or if they are going to an open market, which are Harriet, Mobridge, Chamberlain, and Platt, they can go there for sale under what we call a shipper's agreement. And we have people from the East River who think that they are immune to West River laws or brand laws and such, and are not aware of them. In most cases, they're just not aware of them because they have no exposure to them. But these are, like I said, with the price of livestock, what it is, missing one, two, three calves out of a herd of cattle is quite valuable.
Senator Rodin, question.
Yeah, well, not really a question, but just a clarification. I think you might have misspoke on a class two misdemeanor. You said it was a $100 fine. Actually, a class two, I believe, is a maximum $500.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, you're correct. I'm sorry. Typically, though, what they are fined is $100 to $125.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Any further questions from the committee? Senator Valley.
I was trying to recall your testimony. Did you say you had brought this before to make it a class one rather than a class two? Or could you explain that a little bit? I couldn't quite catch what you were saying there.
Mr. Stearns.
Senator Valley, the 4 years ago, we brought forth a bill to change this from a class one, which it was at that time, to a class two. This is the first time we have brought this back, changing it, asking to change it from a class two back to a class one.
Senator?
So could you explain why you brought it down to a class two and now want to bring it up to what was the reason to bring it down and then bring it up? I mean, that obviously is I'm curious.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Valley, 4 years ago when we brought the pair of bills in, the idea was to be able to write a ticket to an offender and quick and easy. And then to also give the brand board authority to be able to impose an administrative fine on someone on a multiple offender. So if someone did this two or three times or had 800 head of cattle, say, and as opposed to a stock trailer load, they could be fined through the brand board on a larger amount, something to put some teeth into it. However, the administrative fine bill died, but the one going from a class one to a class two survived quite well.
For follow-up, Senator?
Thank you.
Senator Rampelberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just thought it might be interesting for the students that are here. You probably don't know what a Class 1 or Class 2 misdemeanor really might amount to. And in fact, I didn't until I had a cheat card and kind of handed out. But they're kind of reversed. A Class 1 misdemeanor is 1 year in a county jail and or a $2,000 fine. And a Class 2 misdemeanor is only 30 days in county jail and or a $500 fine, which was mentioned here before. Now, the thing that I worry about, quite frankly, is I wasn't aware of all these laws. And if I went to go to Minnesota, I know I have to have I have horses. I know I have to have a health certificate. But I wasn't so sure about a brand inspection. I've got one of those travel inspections. But I sure hate to think about a year in county jail because I didn't know something that I'd go across the Missouri River. Thank you.
Senator Hansen? No, Senator Ferrix.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I just had a question, Mr. Stearns. I think this is covered somewhere else, but I think it'd be just good so we're clear on. Let's say somebody takes a horse from, you know, over on the east side and goes out to the Black Hills to ride. I mean, are they protected in some other statute, or would they still obviously have to have the inspection? And just kind of wondering how those people would be affected. I mean, because it would obviously be going over in a brand inspection area and then leaving, and do they have to be inspected both times, or can they do like Senator Rampelberg talked about, that traveling permit that he has?
Mr. Chair, Senator Frerichs, horse owners going from East River to West River have the option of getting the travel permit or a lifetime permit on their horses. They can get them from any West River brand inspector. It's a little card, sometimes with a picture on, sometimes just with the description of the horse and the markings, the white markings on the horse. There also is the opportunity to get an annual permit, an annual traveling permit, and we have those available at all of the horse camps throughout the Black Hills and at Custer State Park. And this, for $3, will allow them to leave the brand inspection area without an inspection. We're trying to make it travel-friendly, keep the tourists coming in, and helping the tourist economy.
For a follow-up or anything? Okay. Senator Roeder, anything? Moving into, Senator Frisley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question for Mr. Stern. Maybe just to clear it up in my mind, how does it work for a cattle rancher on the east side of the river to bring cattle to pasture on the west side and then bring them back home? What is his obligation? What does he have to do? What steps does he have to follow in doing that?
Chair? Mr. Strange.
Senator Frisley, an East River producer brings cattle into western South Dakota. They don't have to have any paperwork or anything on them. Hopefully they do have the producer's brand on them or whatnot. To leave the West River area to go back home with their cattle, they do have to be brand inspected at the pasture or if they take them to a sale barn. Now, most of the producers who come from East River either will have a bill of sale or have their livestock branded. And this bill of sale would be proof of ownership if it lists the brand on it and whatnot that they can get at at any sale barn they might have purchased the cattle.
Follow-up, Mr. Senator Frisley? Thank you. Moving into committee discussion and or action. Senator Roden.
Move do pass.
Is there a second for the do pass motion? Seconded by Senator Ferrix. Any discussion on that motion, Senator?
Well, Mr. Chair, as we had the conversation, I recall the bill that Mr. Stern spoke of, or the pair of bills, and they were basically companion bills that got divorced, and we passed the one to lower the penalty, and the administrative fine bill failed, so I think this is just setting the scales back to where they were prior to that, so I'd urge your support.
Any further discussion on the do-pass motion? Seeing none, I'll have the Secretary call the roll. Those for the bill will vote aye. Those opposed will vote nay.
Bogalka?
Aye.
Frerichs?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Krebs? Mr. Chair, 8 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill having 1038 having received a majority of the vote is declared passed. Senator Hansen.
Move that this vote on consent.
Is there a second for the consent motion?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Valley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And the Senate Bill, House Bill 1038 will move to the floor on consent. We have some students that came in over on the right, or on my right-hand side. Where are you young folks from? You with Sunshine Bible also, or are you? Okay, well, welcome to the Senate Ag Committee. I think one of our committee members is a graduate of Sunshine Bible. He's not paying attention, though. But anyway. Anyway, moving on to House Bill 1070. Yeah, I was trying to get your attention, but you were having a sidebar down there. I was making fun of you, and I said one of our committee members, I believe, is a graduate of Sunshine Bible, and we have the students here today from your alma mater.
That's right. Would you care to stand up and introduce yourself and your class? Or one of the teachers?
Jamie McClain, social studies teacher. Bunch of us here.
It's the Sunshine Seniors, right? Senior class, junior and senior. Why don't you guys stand? Come. Welcome to your state capital.
All right. Thank you for joining us today. Moving into House Bill 1070, this is an act to revise certain provisions relating to a certificate of health requirements for the improvement or importation of animals. Are there any proponent testimony? There he is, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
I would have pitched this bill, but I thought Representative Roush could use a little experience in dealing with the committee process, so I will defer to him.
It is my day, after all, and this is a bill that I brought on behalf of my sweetheart, so this might work out just fine, Mr. Chair. Representative Roush from District 4, before you today, thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. A year ago, we were made aware that when Dr. Holland retired and Dr. Odekoven was appointed as a state vet, that they went through all of the statutes so that, one, he would be familiar with his new role, and then, two, obviously just see if there was things that they needed to change. And one of the things that they came across is that in the code, the word animal and livestock is kind of intermingled. And it caused problems with people that, as my wife does, that participate in dog shows, maybe rabbit shows, even hunting dogs, family vacation, that there was, because of the intermingling throughout the code, there was no way to create exemptions for the health requirements that are required for our livestock. In South Dakota, when you start messing with terminology and descriptions and it's considered livestock and animals, everybody's ears go up and they get pretty excited. So as we tried to just do this in rule, we were unable to do it because the code is intermingled. And so we've worked this last year to come up with a way to figure out how to properly exempt family pets and animals, hunting dogs, that do require health certificates, but they certainly don't need one every 30 days. Most families would have one annually. The dog show world, it's a kind of an annual certificate that they have, and those people are very proud of their animals, and they're very healthy. They take good care of them. In many cases, they get treated quite well. Our house would be no exception. And but in this process, Dr. Odekoven, with our meeting, agreed that although technically the dog show world is probably in violation, he encouraged them to do business as usual as we continue to try to work out a solution to exempt these the dog show people and be able to get the code right. So what 1070 does is it realigns the livestock and the animals and those definitions and separates them back out so that now the Animal Industry Board in rules can actually make the exemptions necessary so that all these people traveling through the state are not illegal. They won't all be illegal, but could be if their certificate of health was older than 30 days. And so this is quite simple bill, but a very complicated issue. And as it's aligned, the Animal Industry Board would still do that. It doesn't change any of the authorities for anybody. It just cleans up the language so they're allowed to do what the intent was all the time. And I would ask the committee's support.
Thank you, Representative Roush.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further proponent testimony to House Bill 1070?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Nathan Sanderson, I'm a policy advisor with the governor's office. I rise in support of House Bill 1070. We worked with Speaker Roush and Dr. Odekoven in developing this language because we understand that the livestock producers in the state of South Dakota are very, very concerned with their industry. They want to make sure that nothing that we do could potentially compromise that. And so we had folks in the room making sure that any changes that we made would not negatively impact the livestock industry. We think this is a good bill. It's a common sense change, and we have great faith in Dr. Odekoven and the Animal Industry Board, and we'd urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sanderson. Further proponent testimony.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dustin Odekoven, your state veterinarian and the executive secretary for the South Dakota Animal Industry Board. Just some brief comments in support of this bill. The Animal Industry Board is charged with preventing the introduction of contagious infectious disease in all animals of the state, particularly with respect to the livestock industries of our state. And the current law does provide an excellent tool to assist the board in accomplishing this goal, and that is the Certificate of Veterinary Inspection. In addition, the board has rulemaking authority for specific diseases of concern, and the board has enacted rules to address those specific disease concerns in livestock and all pet animals as well. Just to give you some idea of the scope of this task, my office keeps records of approximately 25,000 certificates of imported animals each year, representing about 7 million animals. A lot of those are turkey poults, but we count them in the count. And we also have records of roughly 30,000 certificates of veterinary inspection that are recorded by licensed veterinarians in our state. And these are export certificates. Currently, there are no provisions for exemptions to the requirements for certificates of veterinary inspection for animals imported into our state. And while there are very few scenarios for which there would be a recommendation for such an exemption, it's thought that the board could potentially consider those exemptions where they may be necessary. And as was mentioned additionally, this bill does help clarify that the board's rulemaking authority does extend to all animals and is not limited to livestock species. So with that, I will stand by for questions if there are any.
Thank you, Mr. Odokoven. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1070.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the committee. Jeremiah M. Murphy for the South Dakota Stock Growers Association. We, too, support this legislation, and we do so only after careful consideration. This is a very, very critical issue for us, and it is critical to the stock growers with all that we have in stake in terms of the, the correct classification of livestock that is done carefully. We believe this has been done very carefully, and we appreciate the sponsor and his constituent bringing this, and we appreciate the efforts of the state vet to handle this in the way we have, and we'd urge your support for this legislation today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1070.
Morning, Mr. Chair. John Kirstein, South Dakota Farmers Union. We too rise in support of this for all the reasons said before, and commend those that were involved in crafting this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony. One last call. Any further proponent testimony on House Bill 1070? Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony to House Bill 1070? Last call for opponent testimony on House Bill 1070. Seeing none, we will move into committee questions. Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not really sure who to direct this toward. I suppose... Let me ask my question, then we'll figure out who can answer it. This has nothing to do with the amendment. I'm just curious. I noticed that any person who brings animals into the state in violation is guilty of a Class 6 felony, which is 2 years in the penitentiary. I know that's already in the code. Wow. So if I go into Montana and forget my health certificate, I'm looking in South Dakota 2 years in the penitentiary. Just a comment, I guess. Maybe it's not even a question at all. Wow, sir. Anyway, I'm in support of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator, for that commentary. any questions for the testifiers today, committee? Seeing none, we will move into committee action, or discussion, I should say, and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rodin.
Mr. Chair, I move due pass.
Is there a second for the due pass motion? Seconded by Senator Hansen. Any comments on that motion, Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I think this is pretty straightforward, and if you read the bill, it's hard to decipher what it's doing, but it's very simply put, they're just clarifying and arranging the statute to allow them to then resolve the issues by making appropriate rules through their rulemaking authority. So it's very simple, straightforward, and urge your support.
Further discussion on the due pass motion, Senator Valley.
I just tell Mr. Odokoven that I'm on the Rules Committee, so make sure I can understand the rules when they come. Thank you.
Further comments on the due pass motion, Seeing none, those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say nay. And the secretary will call the roll.
Bagalka.
Aye.
Ferrix.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Krebs. Mr. Chair, eight ayes, one.
House Bill 1070, having received affirmative vote, has moved to the floor.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Roden.
Well, first of all, I'd urge you, in order for Senator Valley to understand it, short words, small sentences, maybe a couple pictures, diagrams. Beyond that, I would move consent.
Is there a second for the consent motion?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Hansen. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Senate Bill 10 or House Bill 1070 moves to the floor on consent. Is there anything else to come before the committee? Hearing none, I guess there's a motion to adjourn. There we go. Seconded, a motion by Hansen, seconded by Frerichs to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Hearing none, we are adjourned.